Welcome back to the LSCC podcast. Let's continue our series, Foundations.
So we are in the series of Foundations, and we are moving through the book of Ephesians. We find ourselves at Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and this part of the Bible talks about unity. And I've used the word solidarity instead of the word unity, because the word unity, like the word love, like the word patience, in contemporary culture and language has kind of lost its meaning even from 20, 40, 100 years ago. So I've used the term solidarity. Solidarity means to stand with someone in something, that we stand for them. And this verse is going to talk about how Christians, not just people at LSCC, but Christians, and we'll talk about what that means next week, how Christians are supposed to stand for one another in faith. We are supposed to have solidarity. So that's what we are getting into in the verses. So when you see the word unity, I put in the word solidarity there because I think in our current language, it's a much better definition. So let's get into our text. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. Now that's Paul speaking, and he is the author of the letter. And Paul is not a prisoner of Jesus. He's a prisoner of Rome, but everywhere he goes, he is there for Jesus. He says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And remember that we're not just like working out good works in our faith. We're walking with Jesus. We're becoming like Jesus. And then the last 2 weeks, we have talked about humility and gentleness. This week, we are going to focus on the bold and underlined part on the screen, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. Doesn't that sound nice? Peace, unity, love. It reminds me of sunshine and butterflies and rainbows and Care Bears and singing Kumbaya around the campfire with each other. But if you put this in the New King James Version, you're going to see a little bit of change in the words, and I love the way he puts it. With long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That sounds to me more like this. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, it's majestic and it's beautiful that we could live in peace with one another and we could have solidarity. It's amazing. But just like the snow, when it comes with 1 foot at a time, it's a lot of work, long suffering. But there's this majestic beauty that's also part of it. So let's go ahead and get into the verse. We're going to look at four things in this verse. Christian solidarity looks like long suffering. Now, pretty interesting word. With long suffering, bearing with one another in love. So the King James or New King James Version uses the term long suffering for the word patience. And long suffering means to suffer for a long period of time. It doesn't even tell us how long. Why would you possibly need to long suffer with another human? Why is that there? Or another Christian? That's there for Christians. That we would long suffer with one another. Paul has taught us so far that we have this inheritance. Do you guys remember that from the beginning? We have an inheritance. We're family. We don't often think of long suffering together within friendships, do we? But we do with family, right? Long suffering. I remember I have two sisters. I have a sister a year younger, and I have a sister a year older. And the sister a year older, I should send this to her. Her name is Tina. And Tina is the daughter of two Marines, and she acts like it. And when we were in high school, I was pretty mild, if you can believe that, and Tina was not. And Tina would get me into skirmishes, and she'd say, my brother's gonna kick your... And I would have to willingly go into these skirmishes because Tina was my sister, and I didn't want to get home to that old Marine and not have fought for my sister. Whether she was right or whether she was wrong, she was my sister, And my dad didn't care whether she was right or wrong. When it came to me, he cared whether I was there for her, whether I would long suffer with her, whether I would defend her. That's what he cared about. Because we're family. I believe that the Bible and that what Paul is teaching in this long suffering with each other is that just like you would long suffer for brothers and sisters, that we would do that for each other within the church, that we would long suffer for other Christians in that same way. We're not connected by blood necessarily, but we are connected by a much deeper bond, the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we are brothers and sisters. This is a biblical teaching all over the Bible. I will not leave you as orphans, John 14:18. The Spirit testifies we are children of God because you are sons and daughters crying, Abba, Father. That's Daddy, Daddy God. As many as receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. We're family. I have an estranged parent or had an estranged parent for many years. And when that estranged parent came back into our lives, I was in my 30s. And I remember one of my siblings called me and said, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can deal with this anymore. Have you guys ever had those kind of family situations? It's hard, huh? And I remember having a conversation that, hey, you don't get a choice. Because this bond that we have is deeper than blood. It's Jesus. And Jesus always forgives. He's always chasing after us. And that's what we are to be with each other. Not that we don't have safe boundaries in certain circumstances, but that bond between us is like the bond of family. It's that deep. And I want to encourage you that Lake Superior Christian Church is a place where we long suffer with one another. I mean, this is the church for that. Like sometimes I'll hammer a point home and I think we all struggle with it. But I want to do the opposite here and just encourage you that those who are plugged in with the church, and which means each other, that doesn't mean our organizational things, but plugged in each other's lives. This is a place where we long suffer together, where we are really family. And so I would encourage you, if you're new to that, as awkward as it is, start to involve yourself in the lives of the people within the church. And you will find a place of real family and real long-suffering. In the verse, Christian solidarity looks like bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. I remember back when I was a soldier, I remember we get to Kuwait on our first deployment, and you're there for like 2 weeks, and you do all this convoy training, right? And the Army Rangers come out, and they show you what to do for 2 weeks before you go to Iraq. And I remember I was going to have a son on that deployment. I didn't want to be there in the first place. And I remember the decisions that some of those people were making. I thought, oh, I am stuck with these people. This is not going to go well. I should join the Marine Corps or something a little more serious. And I was sulking outside of my tent, and I was a sergeant, and this E4 came up to me, and he said, hey, man, this is my second deployment, and I want to tell you that you are going to go through something that you will have for the rest of your life, and you will always be grateful for the bonds that you make, the bearing with one another through this experience, and you won't want to leave. He was right. Man, something awesome happens when we bear with one another, but this isn't like gritting your teeth and bearing it. I mean, that's what he was trying to get across, like have a good attitude, change the way that you're moving through this, actually enjoy this experience. See, we're not supposed to grit our teeth and like, I can't believe I am stuck with the person sitting next to me. Why them, Lord? We're supposed to bear with one another in love. Look at the verse. It's not about sticking your head in the sand, like, why am I here? Why am I? And then the storm's blowing by and you're through it. It's about bearing with one another in love. There's something that's supposed to characterize the way that we bear with one another. Now, what is love? Well, that's a pretty big question, but the Bible is very specific. We're supposed to bear with one another in patience, bear with one another in kindness, where we don't boast, where we're not arrogant and we're not rude, where we don't insist on our own way, where we're not irritable and resentful. Because love bears all things, right? And that's the way love bears all things. Who has seen the show, I think it's like an HBO series, Band of Brothers? Who's seen that? It's about the 101st Airborne and they go through World War II. Now, what's amazing about that show isn't the campaigns they go through as soldiers. What's amazing about the Band of Brothers is their love for one another. They don't even like each other sometimes, but they are in love with each other. They have an intimacy with each other as they bear all things together. That's supposed to be us as a church. See, everybody in the army wants to be in the 101st. And it's not, that's okay, 82nd, whatever. And it's not because that Screaming Eagle patch, it's that bond, right? That bond. I remember when soldiers first came back and I was in a sergeant school and they first came back and they had this bond that I didn't know really anything about. And I was like, man, I want that. I want that. Now I have seen in the church something so much deeper and so much greater than what I've seen as a soldier. I've seen people that will bear with one another through anything on a constant deployment called life. In fact, I think it's our greatest testimony as Christians. I've said this before because Jesus says it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. People are supposed to see us just like that Band of Brothers and go, man, I want to be in the 101st. Man, I want to be at LSCC. Look how they love each other. And even greater than that, what this verse is getting at isn't an organizational church. It's all people who believe and call Jesus Lord. I want to be one of them because of how they bear with one another in love. And I want to encourage you as a church that this is a place that I've seen that. This is a body of believers, a body of people that are committed to bearing with one another. And if you are not plugged into that, and I'm not talking about church programs Wednesday night, although those are important, those are great steps. I'm talking about getting in each other's life, having those awkward first couple conversations, and learning to bear with one another in love. It's a beautiful thing, and it is happening here. In the verse, Christian solidarity looks like being eager, I should have put a word there, being eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. If we look at the verse, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. That's a cool phrase. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Who's been eager for something? Like when you order on Amazon that new awesome package and you're so mad that you live in the UP and it said it was going to take 1 week and now it takes 3. You're eager, you're waiting. My teenage boys who are sitting right here and made that mistake this morning, they are eager for seconds. When we have a barbecue, they go and they get firsts. And they're noble, kind young men. So they wait until everybody goes around and eats. But they are right next to me like, hey, is it time for seconds? My little girls, they're beautiful, and when we come home, we give them surprises often. And you can give a little girl anything, right? A flower that you find, anything, they love it. And as soon as Jess or I come through the door, they're like, Daddy, surprise! And they're eager for that surprise. Sometimes they just get surprise kisses, which are my favorite. But they're eager. We all know what it's like to be eager. Who in here is eager for maintenance? Maintenance is like a bad word. Eager for maintenance? Eager to maintain? The only one in here who loves to maintain things is Joel Asher. Trucks, cars, tractors, boats, fishing poles, love to maintain all that stuff. He doesn't, though. He loves the results. That's why we maintain things. That's why we do maintenance. Just like with the snow. Who's got a snowblower? Lots of us have snowblowers. Or a small engine lawnmower, a chainsaw, or something like that. You have to put stabilizer in the gas. If you don't use that for a long time, or when that snow comes, when those difficulties happen, when those problems happen, if you weren't eager to do the maintenance and that snow comes down, it's going to be terrible because it's not going to work. Not only do you have to do that, but there's that little spark plug and it gets all gummed up in those gas engines and everything. And if you stabilize the gas, but you weren't actually eager to maintain and then change that spark plug or clean that out, then while you're doing the snow and the drive, it's like, and it breaks down. And then you have to be eager to have your little shear bolts with you, or you go inside and you find all the tools and everything, and that thing gets more frozen, and you don't want to go back outside because you already went inside and you got warm and your clothes are wet, and it's terrible. By the time you're done, if you weren't eager to maintain, you're just going to kick that dumb thing and grab your teenagers and give them three shovels and have them go do it. Or like, Jess, can you go out there and do that? I'm cold. But we have to be eager to maintain. See, relationships are the same way. Relationships need this eagerness to maintain those relationships, or they begin to fall apart. And we need to be eager to maintain unity with one another. Now, I have a problem with that sometimes. I don't know if you do, but I do. I remember a church I worked at. I was in a big disagreement with the pastor. I was an associate pastor, a senior pastor. I was in a large disagreement over something that was very important. And I let go of my eagerness to maintain unity. And I became irritable and resentful, even though I feel like I was right in the thing I was talking about. I became irritable and resentful with him. And then I became envious and boastful, arrogant and rude. And I rejoiced that he was wrong and I was right, because I wasn't eager to maintain unity. Don't we do that in conflict? Just begin to sin because we're not eager to maintain unity, and it always comes across, and this isn't gossip, I'm just venting. Isn't that what we do? That's what I do when I let go of hope. I remember that conversation with that man who I've called and repented and went through that process. I remember when I really knew it, when it really hit me that I was living in this state of sin in that case. We were fighting, we were arguing. Have you ever been in an argument so much so like you can feel it like in your arms? You're like, I just want to hit something. It was like that. And I was giving in to the lust of that anger. And I remember all the things that are bad in this verse being that way with this guy. And he just stopped for a minute and he said, Chris, love hopes all things. And it hit me. I'd lost hope in him over a situation. A man who loved the Lord and dedicated his life to the church, a good guy. I lost hope in him. Started guessing and judging all of his intentions that I don't even know, because I was no longer eager to maintain unity, to stand with him in faith. Even though, to this day, I feel like I was correct in my position. but full of sin in the way that I addressed it. I believe that's what Paul is getting at. Remember in the church, they were having all these arguments over important things in the Ephesian church. Do you guys remember? There were Jews and Gentiles, and they're fighting over all this stuff. He's specifically talking about our conflict with one another and how we handle those things. Christian solidarity looks like a bond of peace. A bond of peace. The fourth thing in the verse here, with patience bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain unity in the Spirit, in the bond of peace. That's also a pretty interesting phrase. Now, where do we get our peace as Christians? From Jesus. He is actually himself our peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's something really interesting in this verse. There's this idea in this verse that our hearts are going to be in situations where they are troubled, and we are going to be in situations where we are afraid. This isn't circumstantial peace that Jesus is talking about giving us, where it's like we have peace in our marriage because everything's good. This isn't that kind of peace. This is the kind of peace where we have peace in those things, because in any circumstance that we're facing, in any conflict that we're facing with one another, we have peace. Even though the conflict in the situation doesn't appear to be peaceful, we have peace because we have a bond of peace, and that bond of peace is Jesus himself. He is our peace. And two things that are different or separated or having conflict or whatever can be bonded together, right? Like I could glue this Bible to this mug, and that glue would be the bond. Even though they're different, they're not the same. They have strong disagreements. There could be a bond between them. And that bond is Jesus himself. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of Jesus. That in conflict and in all those different things that we have problems in, that he's our peace and with each other, even though, like, this isn't false unity. This isn't everything's all flowers and sunshine. This is real, real unity, where we have real life and real problems and real things happening, and then we're bonded together by who Jesus is and what he's done and our commitment and our faith for him, that we come together. That's who we are. That's who we are as a movement, as Christians. Ultimately, Christian solidarity looks like Jesus. Don't you love those moments where you're really close to God, where you feel like the two of you are intertwined? You know what I'm talking about? Like you're reading the Bible. Remember, we were talking about reading in Genesis, and it was like a year ago when we were having coffee or something, and you were telling me when you read in Genesis, you saw this thing you never saw before, and you just had this amazing moment in your quiet time with the Lord. And we're so close in those moments. Have you guys ever had that? Like, all this stuff's happening in your life. You open the Bible, and it's like, whoa, the infinite God of all creation is speaking. Or like in worship when, like, I remember the first 3 months I was a Christian, I just laid on the floor. I read in the Bible that David put himself low, and I didn't know like the etiquette necessarily, so I just laid on the floor, just spread out, and just had all those moments where I was like so close to God. I didn't feel like I could be any closer. Or you go out and you swim out in the lake farther than you should go just to feel the power of it, and you're like, man, I feel the power of God right now, his majesty and his might. Have you guys know what I'm talking about? Those moments, they're all different for each one of us, where we're like, the Spirit is speaking. In those moments, I feel like I'm closer to Jesus than I will ever be. But I don't necessarily think that that's actually the case, that those ecstatic moments bring me closer. I feel like Christian solidarity does. See, when I'm with the Lord, I'm just amazed that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. That, it blows my mind. It's amazing that God would do that. And then I'm overwhelmed with that. And what this verse is saying is the way that he long suffered for you and the way that he long suffered for me, that you get to be like Jesus. And you get to long suffer for one another. That's grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy that we do not deserve, something so profound in our life. You get to be like the King of Glory when you bear with one another in love. And I think in those moments, you're so close to Jesus. But it doesn't feel anything like it, does it? Because it's hard. Doesn't feel like those ecstatic moments. And they're great and I love them. I'm a charismatic. But I believe that I am so close with the Lord. So close with the Lord when I'm bearing with other people in love. Because we get to be like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I know in my own life, you guys are good. I know in my own life, I can look back at when I first like became a Christian and first got into the church, and even years before that. And I can look back at my walk and my journey, and I can see all these people in the church that were like Jesus, that long suffered with me and had patience for me. I don't know if you know this, but I can be hard to deal with sometimes, especially then. Man, they loved me. Like real love, they really loved me. They weren't afraid to confront, but they weren't afraid to do that in love and to stay with me and to suffer with me. This is that kind of church. This is the kind of church where we do that. Where we get to be like Jesus in the way that we do that. My prayer for you and my prayer for myself, because I don't know about you, but I can get this wrong pretty often. My prayer for us today, what I'm hoping that we would take with us, is this desire to be older. And I tried to say it in a nice way. To be old. I want to be old, and I want to look back at my life. And I want to be able to see and praise God for these moments where I got to be like him. That's what I really desire. To be like 75 or something. Or 80 or 90. Really, and to look back and have the type of life that I see here. And a lot of our older people, I want that in my life. I want that for your life. That's what this verse is saying. So I encourage you to find people that you can suffer with, not that you agree with, that you can bear with in love, that you can be bonded in the peace and the unity of who Jesus is, because that is what the church is. Let's pray. Lord, it is a mighty request to ask you for such a life, a life of someone who's committed to other people. That's what we desire, Lord. We desire to be like you. We desire to be exactly the way that you are, that we would suffer for each other and we would have patience for each other and we would bear with one another. Lord, set your gospel before us in our mind and in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be like you in such an infectious way that people would come flocking to you because of how we are with each other. I pray that for all the churches across Marquette, for all the Christians, I pray that you would mature us in this way, God, that you would, whatever it is, a measure of your spirit, discipleship in our lives, maturity, whatever it is that's going to make that happen, God, I pray that you would empower us to live lives worthy of your calling. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for a church where I see this all the time. I pray that you would encourage the people here. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us. And don't forget to stay up to date with the latest information at lscc.tv. We'll see you next week.